You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the voices behind Women's Cricket Chat. That's Georgie, Cassie, Mahika and Alex. Coming up on today's podcast...
Welcome to another episode of Women's Cricket Chat. This week you've got just me, no Alex, but I'm joined by a superstar guest. And this week we have for you Mahika Gore. Mahika, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy, busy schedule as we build into 100th summer and for coming to chat.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for having me. Very excited.
Very excited. You sound really excited to chat to me. You're like, oh God, I'm stuck with Auntie Georgie.
Yeah, always just an excuse to talk to Auntie Georgie.
Yeah, basically. For those of you who don't know, Mahika and I met at Fairbreak and Auntie Georgie just became a thing because I can't even really remember why, but it just did. It's stuck now. So Auntie Georgie and Mahika with you this week. So Mahika, I don't really know where to kick things off. How about, you know, how are things going at the moment? What are you up to at the moment? We're in a break between the Rachel Hayhoe Flint Trophy and the 100. How has this summer been going for you? It's your first summer with a pro contract now at Thunder. How is it going?
Yeah, it's been great. Like, obviously my first proper summer. And, you know, before I was living in Dubai, I didn't really know how sort of full on the English summer is with cricket. Because in Dubai, we just have sort of cricket all year round, but it wouldn't be as intense. But over here, like as soon as the sun comes out, it's just crazy. There's just so much cricket and I've loved it. Like we had the Charlotte Edwards Cup, we had the Rachel Hayhoe Flint Trophy, which has been going well. Obviously with the Charlotte Edwards Cup, we got to finals day, which was good. Good for us. Like I think we lost our first two matches in the tournament, so it was good to get there in the end. But yeah, like right now, just in a break. We've had two rained off games in a row, which is quite annoying. So we couldn't actually like end off on a high before the 100 started. We just ended up like waiting in the changing rooms, hoping for the rain to stop, but nothing's really happening. So hopefully the weather gets a bit better for the 100.
Yeah, and what's it been like for you? So this is actually your first proper season with Thunder, and then what was it like to sign an actual first proper pro contract? I mean, you're only 17. That must just be like wild dreams kind of territory.
Yeah, for sure. I think if you'd have asked me like a year ago, I wouldn't have ever guessed that I'd be doing that. So yeah, super proud. I think it's just, it's just to show like that. It just shows the work that I've put in. So I'm happy with that. But obviously, that's not the end for me. I still want to keep doing more stuff, like playing well for Thunder, sort of becoming like a frontline bowler for them, and hopefully playing for England soon as well.
That was going to be one of my questions at some point. So it's an interesting one. Obviously, I know your background. You played at UAE, played for the UAE, the under-19s and the seniors there. But you do have an English passport, don't you? Because you were born in Reading.
Yeah.
So could you just explain to our listeners how this one works and what your plan is? So would you make that switch from playing for the UAE to officially be able to play for England?
Yeah, so I moved to Dubai when I was 8. So I could, like, I trained over there and then played for UAE, because to play for UAE, you just, I don't actually know what you need. I think you just need to live there. Like, I think you need the Emirates ID or something, which I had. But now, like, one of the main reasons that I moved back to England was for, you know, obviously I want to sort of do what I'm capable of. And UAE cricket is great and everything, but I just thought that maybe by coming here I could get, like, a higher standard of training and stuff. So, yeah, that's one of the reasons why I've moved back, to hopefully sort of get my name in the system. And, yeah, by playing county cricket, playing all the regional stuff here, just hopefully sort of, like, making a name for myself and seeing what can happen from that.
And if you could just talk us through how you were picked up by, was it you were picked up by Thunder when they came over to Dubai for a tour, a pre-season tour?
No, so it was actually before the pre-season tour. It was in October. So there was, like, an expo thing happening in Dubai at the time, and our school sort of organised this, like, masterclass session with Lancashire. And I remember I couldn't actually go to that initially because I had training with the UAE, but then that got cancelled and I ended up going. And it was just sort of, like, very small nets, not even run-up. Like, the run-up wasn't even enough for, like, a spinner. It was very small. And we were just sort of just bowling to each other. Keaton Jennings was there, and he was sort of just giving us batting tips. And I wasn't really thinking much of it. I was just sort of bowling. But then my teacher was talking to Warren Hegg and, like, saying that, you know, I have a British passport or whatever. And then through Warren Hegg, so he basically just approached the school to get in touch with my parents and stuff, because he thought that I could, you know, potentially play with Thunder. And then the preseason tour happened in March, so I got to meet them properly then. And yeah, I think it's so kind of crazy, like, that it all happened like that, because then I got to play in the 100 that summer as well. So it was mad. It was definitely what is happening kind of thing. But yeah, very grateful for that.
Yeah, it seems like a bit of a whirlwind. So you're now at school over here at Sedbergh playing at Thunder. And then this summer you made your debut for the England Lions, didn't you? So what was that like as a step, and how hungry did that make you to want to play for England cricket?
Yeah, definitely. Like, when I found out I was playing for England, like, I got selected for England A, I was super happy. Definitely a bit nervous. I remember before that first match, in the warm-up and stuff, I was quite nervous, because obviously it was like it was a new standard of cricket, and also I didn't really know anyone in the team, so it was like it was all very new for me. But, like, the girls in the team were super nice. They all sort of helped me. I asked a lot of questions as well, got to learn from them. But, yeah, it was great. It could have gone better, obviously. So, like you said, it just made me a bit more hungry, and hopefully I can just keep working hard and play more matches for them.
And how does the process work with you making the switch from the UAE to playing for England?
You're asking the wrong person. I honestly don't know. I think, like, my parents have dealt with that sort of stuff.
Dream. Yeah, leave it to them. I still do.
Yeah, leave it to them, honestly.
But that's really exciting, because I remember when we were at Fairbreak earlier on this year, which is obviously where we met. We'll get on to Fairbreak in a bit. It was, you know, a lot of our discussion was, you know, I remember Dan Norcross was very excited when he realised that you would actually be able to play for England. He was like, right, get it to switch now. So the idea that, you know, that definitely is what you would want to do, because we didn't know. I mean, feel a bit bad for the UAE. We just nicked you, but you know, they'll just they'll have to go over that one. They'll just have to be England supporters. But that's a really exciting step and move for you, especially so young, already playing in that A, and you've got that sort of experience under your belt. You've played as part of an add-on to an Ashes series already, which is really cool, because I think a lot of 17-year-olds in that summer would be in, like, I don't know, where do you go as a 17-year-old? Like, Zante, somewhere like that?
Yeah.
Drinking fish bowls or whatever it is they do. But, yeah, so now you can now be a fully fledged English left-arm seamer, which is a very exciting prospect for those of us watching England cricket. But I want to take it all the way back to how you actually started cricket in the first place. What got you into it?
The IPL. Like, I remember our whole family went to watch a match in India. It was Rajasthan versus Delhi Daredevils at the time. And then all I remember about it was that Shane Warne got player of the match. I don't remember much, but apparently, like, what my dad tells me is that when we came back home to the UK, in the garden, I'd just be, like, bowling. And apparently, I was, like, rolling my arm properly. I wasn't chucking the ball. So he was quite surprised by that. And then, like, he put me in a club in England. But then we moved to Dubai. And I stopped cricket for a while. I became a fully fledged badminton player.
Interesting. As you do, it's good.
Yeah, so me and my sister would go for badminton training like once a week. And then every time we'd go for badminton training, we'd cross the ICC. So then we'd think about it, but then we'd be like, nah. And then I think the turning point was I played my first badminton match and I lost 21-3. So then I was just like, maybe this is not for me. I think my parents thought that as well. And we're like, yeah, let's just, like, we crossed the ICC anyway. Let's just go see what's up. And then I went there and the coach told me to bowl. I think Chaya was batting at the time, who's now captain of the UAE team. So I bowled. I was bowling to her. I was bowling these, like, loopy four tosses. She was just defending them because she felt bad that this, like, 9-year-old was bowling to her. But yeah, then got back into cricket from there.
And your height is obviously something that is very helpful when it comes to bowling. Have you always been mega tall? Because I've never had a growth spurt as such. I've just always been really tall.
Yeah, same. I've been quite tall. I've always been, like, one of the tallest in the class. Actually, I've always been, like, the tallest in my class. I think it comes from my dad. He's, like, 6'4". My mum's also quite tall.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had a mini growth spurt during quarantine. Because I remember after that, like, after the quarantine period, everyone was like, wow, you've really grown. But yeah, I've just always been quite tall.
And how was quarantine and lockdown for, because I don't really know what it was like in Dubai, and how did you manage to keep up any of your training?
In Dubai, it was quite, like, I remember we had online school and stuff, so I'd be quite busy for most of it. And then we'd have, like, two or three times a week, we'd have these, like, Zoom sessions with our, like, club, and we'd sort of just do, like, we'd put, someone would, like, screen share a YouTube fitness class thing, and we'd all just do it. Yeah, those are, like, the dark days, honestly. That was not fun. And then, yeah, I just sort of watch a lot of cricket, I think. I can't really remember what I did. I remember that we had a tournament in September, but because I had that growth spurt during quarantine, like I said, both my knees were sort of not in a good place, so I couldn't actually play it. So it's a good thing that I grew during quarantine, because I, like, got the injury then, so I didn't really miss out on much.
Yeah, and so you moved over to Dubai and you picked up your cricket again when you got over there, and then you made your international debut age 12, am I right?
Yeah.
What was that like?
I don't really remember. Like, it was quite surreal for me because obviously I was so young. But then at the same time, Sam and Vaishnavi were also making their debuts, and they were both younger than me. So it wasn't like I'm like the youngest here, and because at least I had two other girls that were as young as me. So yeah, it wasn't that bad, but yeah, I just remember I wasn't really nervous at all. I was just sort of like, yeah, I just want a ball. And I think, yeah, I got one wicket there against Kuwait, got my first wicket, and then I was just super happy. My mom and my sister also came over to, like, they came over to Thailand to watch me, which was nice. I think my sister got food poisoning, though, but apart from that, they enjoyed
it. Oh, it's worth it. I'm sure she doesn't
want to know. Yeah, hopefully.
From then, obviously, you carried on playing through the ages, and we had the Under-19 Women's World Cup earlier this year, which obviously I was at as well. What was that like to be part of the first one ever playing as part of that UAE?
Yeah, I always say, like, it's such a flex, like, playing the first ever Under-19 Women's World Cup. It's, like, something that we'll always be a part of. Like, we're just always going to be in that. So, yeah, very, very happy to play that. And I think it was good for UAE as well. Like, we got through to the Super Six, which was amazing for us. It's such a good feeling. And, yeah, we couldn't go on any further, but I think we were still quite proud of, like, what we did. And I'm also quite happy with sort of the way that I went about it as well.
Yeah, because we saw you with both the ball and the bat. So have you been working on your batting as well as your bowling as much? Would you ever consider sort of trying to push to being an all-rounder?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely want to be an all-rounder. I think it's more exciting than just being a bowler, for sure. So when I joined Sebra in September, my coach was like, Martin Spate, he's a wicketkeeper batter himself, and he's like a great batting coach. So he was very sort of determined to make me like a bit more of a batter. He said that I've got like a good base. So over the winter, we did a lot of work on my batting. And I think when I went to the World Cup, it sort of, like, I wasn't really thinking too much about it, but just because of the work that we'd done over the winter, I sort of, like, was able to bat quite well. And it's still something I'm working on. I still want to be, like an all-rounder, hopefully batting at, like, 6-7 in the future.
Interesting. I love that because, you know, so often you do get pigeonholed once it's someone decides that you're a bowler. It's like, right, you're a bowler now.
Yeah.
And then fast forward a few months, we got to Fairbreak, which is where a lot of people suddenly, you know, you sort of came into their awareness. I mentioned Dan and the likes of Adam, and then Hartley obviously knew you anyway from Thunder things. She kept going, we found her, she's ours, we've got her. What was it like to be part of the Fairbreak family and everything that that is doing for women's cricket and the opportunities it's providing?
Yeah, Fairbreak was really good. I really enjoyed that. I think Hong Kong as well, it wasn't what I was expecting it to be like at all. Like, I really enjoyed Hong Kong. But the tournament itself, I think it was great. For, like, associate level players to be playing in the same team as, like, the best players in the world, it's so good for everyone. And I don't know, like, a single person who played it and didn't enjoy it. Like, it was just everyone had so much fun, and which is what it's meant to be about. So yeah, I think it's so good, and hopefully there's just many more tournaments like that to come.
And did it help your confidence as a player, do you think? How much do you think it helped develop you?
Quite a lot, I'd say. I think before the first match I was a bit nervous, but it was nice to sort of talk to Nick Carey, who was a captain in my team. Like, just see the way that she went about it, because she's quite calm, and see, like, sort of the plans that she had. She'd always be a mid on mid off, so I could sort of ask her questions and talk to her about it. But yeah, for me, like, I learned a lot. Not every match was perfect, but that was a good thing that I got to sort of sit through, like, watch it again and see what I could have done better. But it was also good for my confidence that I could get, like, some big names out.
Yeah, and then you made it into that team of the tournament as well, so it can't have gone too badly for you. What was it like to get to play alongside and against some of the really big names in women's cricket, and do you keep in touch?
I think, like, I've kept in touch with some of the other girls, like, not necessarily the biggest names, but some of the girls who are in my team. As you know, like, as you might know, Betty Chan's here in England.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, so she messaged me when she came, which was nice. So hopefully before she leaves, I can find her, meet her for a bit. But yeah, like to play with, like with Nick Carey, Sophia Dunkley, Bisma Maruf, like Kaka as well. And just see, like, they're so calm about the way they go about their cricket. Like, they don't put too much pressure on themselves at all. So it was, and they don't put pressure on us as well. So it was just really nice to see that. And I've sort of taken some of that stuff, brought it back with me. And then I've been trying to, like, keep that same mindset when I bowl now.
Because you do always seem pretty cool, calm and collected. I'm not sure if that's just on the outside, but you seem to just sort of have your stuff together. Don't swear on the podcast, Georgie. You do, like, have it pretty well put together, and you never seem too, like, you've got the action that doesn't seem like you're sort of trying too hard. Do you find that it's just sort of really natural for you?
Yeah, I think that's quite new for me. Like, a couple of years ago, if I were to be hit for a boundary or something, I'd just, like, the next one, I'd be like, oh, I'm going to bowl this as fast as I can. And that would sort of take me away from what I'm good at. It would make me bowl, like, not a good bowl, and then I'd just get hit again. So I think that's something I've worked on. That's something people have told me, that, like, when you get hit for a boundary, you just have to stay super calm. Like, and you know that you just need to focus on the next bowl. So, yeah, I think it's new for me. It's not something I've always had. But yeah, for my action, it is pretty natural. Obviously, I've worked on some stuff, but I don't try and force it too much. Just sort of let it happen.
And is there more that you're still sort of trying to add to your bowling repertoire? What do you think you're missing?
I think, so this winter, I've worked a bit on trying to get faster, basically. Like right now, I've got pretty good swing, but I want to be able to swing the ball at a quicker speed. So yeah, I just want to get, like, stronger and get quicker, and also just some variations as well. I think with my height, I've got a good, like, I should have a good bouncer, so just working on my bouncer and different variations as well. Yeah.
And it's something that I guess you can sort of look at England and see that they are lacking in that left arm pace. Do you sort of look at it and be like, I know that this is a gap that I'll be able to fill?
Yeah, I haven't really thought about that, but I think that if they're lacking a left-arm pacer, then for sure it would be a great opportunity for me. Like, I could definitely see myself, not maybe not now, but in the future, hopefully, after I've developed a bit more, hopefully getting a spot there.
Yeah, and so you do have the opportunity to keep developing. Obviously, you're now playing at Thunder full-time. You know, we were just talking before this podcast that you're looking at unis around Manchester so that you can stay at Thunder and train there. Picked up 3 wickets on your Thunder debut this year. Is that right?
Yeah.
What's it been like playing in that team this year? Because it was a tricky start for Thunder, wasn't it?
Yeah.
To try and find that first, especially Rachel Hayhoe Flint win. So how much are you enjoying your time with them? Because it seems like really good fun at Thunder.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all such a great bunch of people. They've all been, like, super welcoming. It's been nice to join them. And yeah, obviously we started off not in the best way, I think, in both trophies. But we were able to show that, like, in the Charlotte Edwards Cup, like, we still got that turnaround. We had a really good comeback, especially that we played against Diamonds and Blackpool. I think that was one of the best games of the season because we had to win that game and we didn't have any of our England players. They were all out. So, and we still managed to win it. Like, it was a proper team effort. So I think we've shown what we can do. And we definitely are capable of, like, winning a lot more. And we're getting there. So hopefully, like, after, I think we've got 2 more matches. I don't know actually how many more matches we have after the 100, but hopefully we can end the season well.
Yeah, and so you're playing at the OGs, the Manchester Originals, in the 100 this year. How excited are you for that? Because that team is absolutely stacked this year.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Like, we've got quite a different team to last year as well, which is, it's always good to sort of have like some new faces. But like, yeah, so excited. I remember last year I didn't play a match, but I still, it was like greatest cricket tournament for me yet, because I just learned so much, because it's just a whole new standard, and like the crowds and everything is just so exciting. So yeah, like super excited for this year.
Yeah, and it's done a lot for sort of the growth of women's cricket in this country. Did you watch the first year? Were you part of it in the very first year?
No, I wasn't.
No, did you watch it and think that's something I want to be part of?
Yeah, I watched it for sure. And I definitely thought that I want to be part of it, but I wasn't thinking that it would, like, that it would come so soon. So obviously, like, quite grateful that I was able to play last year. Let's sort of be part of it. And yeah, hopefully this year maybe I can play some matches, but like I don't want to put too much pressure on that. We can see how it goes.
Yeah, and you can reunite with a bunch of Fairbreakers actually. Who have you got there? You've got Wello, Dottin.
Wello, yeah. Wolvart.
You know what? This team is absolutely stacked. I'm wearing black and white because I think I'm an OG this year, but I think, you know, when you
should be. We'll get you an OG, but we'll get you an OG bucket hat.
You read my mind. I do like the OG bucket hats, although you do look a bit like Vickers in the new kit.
Yeah, we do.
You know, each their own.
I don't know if I love it, but it's okay.
Yeah, but I think you're doing better with black and white than like yellow and red or whatever.
Yeah, true.
I don't know what the Open Invincibles kit is this year, but it's just like a children's
kit. I actually like it.
I don't know. It'd be really good. like on your, look, there's a nail decoration, but I don't think I could rock it as a shirt. Yes.
Yeah.
But I'm an Open fan now, so it doesn't matter. Anyway.
Yes, you are.
And so we've got the 100 coming up and then the rest of the Rachel Hayhoe Flint Trophy. What is the plan for beyond that, you know, what's the sort of short-term plan? And then obviously the long-term plan is England stuff, I guess.
So short-term plan, I've got school starting in September.
Oh, which, is it last year?
Yeah, last year. So A-levels and stuff, which I haven't really thought about that. I've been enjoying my summer so much, so it's fine. And then I'll have my like A-levels next year. And then once that's done, just cricket really. I want to go to
uni. Was that actively your choice, saying I want to do my education, I want to finish it and I want to go to uni?
Yeah, I think it's also like something my parents have always said, which I completely agree with, that like I want to do cricket, which is great, that's a plan A, but you should always have a sort of a plan B. So like, yeah, and also just always have something else to do, because I would get like quite bored. You don't want to just be doing cricket all the time.
Yeah.
So, and if you can balance both of them, then why not? So I don't know if I want to do university straight away. Might take a gap year. It just depends, like we'll see how cricket's going, but definitely in the future, like I'd want to go to university and experience that as well.
And what are you going to study?
I have no idea. I thought I was doing sports science up until like a couple months ago, when I started thinking about doing like management or something. So yeah, I really don't know. I'm gonna have to look into that a bit more.
Don't do psychology, that's my suggestion. Well, don't
did do, you do psychology.
I did. I can't say I've ever used it, and I can't say that much. I liked uni, didn't like my course, but maybe that's just me. But that is my suggestion to you.
I'll just do management then.
I'm sure it's probably more helpful in day-to-day life. People like to say, oh, but surely you can read people's minds. And I'm like, psychology, not like palmistry and telepathy. Anyway.
You have to do something else for that.
Yeah, well, I don't know what you have to do. Drink something from but obviously, I'm aware I don't want to keep you forever. You've got to go and do an appearance at a children's club today. That's what happens when you become a celeb. You have to go and do appearances. We always like to round off with a few sort of quick fire questions, which are just a bit more fun. So one that we like to always ask is, what's your favourite item at a cricket tea?
What, like food item?
Yeah.
flapjacks.
Interesting. Sure. No one's ever said that to us.
Have they not? What's the like common answers?
The common one, we quite often get sausage rolls.
But I'm vegetarian, so I can't really.
Oh, there you go. Oh, I make a really good cheese and onion one.
Oh, do you?
Mm. Yeah,
please.
Flapjacks, yeah, good choice. I actually like flapjacks warm.
Interesting.
Mm.
We usually just have them like forward out, and then they're good to have right before we go into play.
Flapjacks, interesting. Yeah. Someone else, there's quite a few people go for egg sandwiches, but that's such a standard.
Nah, no.
I was on a train the other day and someone ate a tuna sandwich and I was sat there like, I was like, I can't be near this. It smells too bad. Me and tin tuna are not friends. Another one we love is, I'm not sure if you do sledge, if you sledge at 17, but what's a favourite sledge you've ever used or heard?
I remember one match in Dubai. There was like a touring team that came from England and I got a bit too excited and I said something like, more dots than my aunt's polka dotted leggings or something. I don't even know what I was saying, but I just remember that the umpire had to warn me because I just got a bit too excited.
love that. One of my favorite ones was send those bales to Wales. I used to play with someone who always said that.
That's a bit standard though. You've got to be a bit creative.
Yeah,
like I made another one. It was like more taps than my dad's plumbing company. I don't even know.
Nice. Love it. I like the personality. It's way more fun. If you didn't do cricket and there was literally any job in the world that you could do, what would you want to do?
I think this summer I've started like cooking and I'm actually pretty good. So I'd be a chef. That's what I'd do.
Love that. Master chef, celebrity master chef. Yeah. One day.
Yeah, for sure.
Nice. Love that. Better than going in the jungle anyway.
Yeah. I'm actually not bad. I think my whole family would disagree, but the food, like yesterday I made banana bread, which was not too bad as well. So
do you ever take it to training?
Yeah, why not?
People will love you if you take baked goods to training. Ask Sophie Luff. She always makes baked things and she's like,
All right, I'll do that.
Eka's Bakery, yeah. It'll be gorgeous.
Great one.
What was the last TV series you binge watched?
I haven't watched new ones. I just rewatch old ones all the time, like Modern Family. I just watch it all the time.
Yeah, nice.
And then Brooklyn Nine-Nine, just rewatch it.
Have you watched New Girl? I love New Girl.
No, but a lot of people have told me to watch it.
I absolutely love New Girl. It's just such like brain mush. And yeah, I'm a big...
Yeah, I'll start that.
Favourite musician or band?
Harry Styles, probably. Quite like his music.
Nice. Did you go see him?
No, I didn't. He performed everywhere in England, except for Manchester, which is where he's from, which I didn't quite understand.
Oh, that is
so not this year, next year maybe.
Ideal holiday destination?
Maldives.
Yeah, nice, good choice. Love
basic.
That.
Basic.
No, but go for it. Why not? You can pick anywhere. Yeah. So yeah, I think I'd say that or like Fiji or somewhere like that.
Yeah.
Very long flight. So I don't know about that one. I had one I was gonna ask and now I can't remember it. Maybe we'll just round up because they say, and I know that you have places to be. I know. Favorite ground you played cricket at?
Where have I played cricket? Sophia Gardens, probably. Quite like that.
Nice. Well, I think we'll leave it on that one, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of places around the world you'll get to play, hopefully. But Mahika Gore, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Women's Cricket Chat. Where can our followers find you on social media?
On Instagram, Mahika Gore.
Well, that was simple enough. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been amazing to hear about your story so far, and we look forward to following it for a very long time into the future when I'm old and grey and you're still young and bounding in.
Of course, Auntie Georgie. Thank you very much. Enjoy.
And to all our listeners, if you want to keep up to date with everything that we're doing, you can follow us on Twitter and TikTok at WCricketChat, on Instagram at Women's Cricket Chat. And if you want to give us a like on Facebook, we are Women's Cricket Chat. If you'd like to give our personal Twitters a follow, then it's at GeorgieHeath27, at CassieCoombs98, at Mahika Varshney, and I'm at Alex Jane Pereira. This has been Women's Cricket Chat. Tune in next time.
Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.